The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter Number 9, Texts Number 22 and 23, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari, recorded on September 29th, 2010, in Vrindavan, India.
Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 9, Texts 22 and 23.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Pratishtaitu vanang pitra datvagang dharma sangshaya shatrinshad varsha sahasrang rakshita vyahyatendriya pratishtaitu vanang pitra datvagang dharma sangshaya Shatrinshad varsha sahasaram Rakshita vyahyatendriya.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. After your father goes to the forest and awards you the rule of his kingdom, you will rule continually the entire world for 36,000 years, and all your senses will continue to be as strong as they are now. You will never become old. In the Satya Yuga, people generally live for 100,000 years. Dhruva Maharaja's ruling the world for 36,000 years was quite possible in those days. Text 23. Tvad vrtar yutame nashte mriyayum tatan mana anveshanti vanang mata davagnim sa pravekshyati. Translation, the Lord continued, sometime in the future, your brother Uttama will go hunting in the forest, and while absorbed in hunting, he will be killed. Your stepmother Suruchi, being maddened upon the death of her son, will go to search him out in the forest, but she will be devoured by a forest fire. Dhruva Maharaj came to the forest to search out the Supreme Personality of Godhead with a revenging spirit against his stepmother. His stepmother had insulted Dhruva, who was not an ordinary person, but a great Vaishnava. An offense at the lotus seat of a Vaishnava is the greatest offense in this world. Because of having insulted Dhruva Maharaj, Suruchi would become mad upon the death of her son. It would enter a forest fire, and thus her life would be ended. This was specifically mentioned by the Lord to Dhruva because he was determined for revenge against her. From this we should take lesson that we should never try to insult a Vaishnava. Not only should we not insult a Vaishnava, but we should not insult anyone unnecessarily. When Suruchi insulted Dhruva Maharaj, he was just a child. She, of course, did not know that Dhruva was a great recognized Vaishnava, and so her offense was committed unknowingly. When one serves a Vaishnava unknowingly, one still gets a good result. And if one unknowingly insults a Vaishnava, one suffers the bad result. A Vaishnava is especially favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pleasing him or displeasing him directly affects the pleasure and displeasure of the Supreme Lord. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his 8 stanzas of prayer to the spiritual master, has sung, Yasha Prasadahan Bhagavat Prasada. By pleasing the spiritual master, who was a pure Vaishnava, one pleases the personality of Godhead. But if one displeases the spiritual master, one does not know where he is going.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Barakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raghunatanvita Sudaitam Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha
So, we have to be careful. You just see how careful we have to be. She was killed in a forest fire because she insulted a Vaishnava. What does this mean? It means if I insult a Vaishnava, I can also be killed. Of course, we'll all be killed sooner or later. There is a natural death and there is untimely death. One can die naturally, or one may be killed in an automobile accident, a forest fire, or something like that. That's not very auspicious. So, that means Vaishnava Aparad can give one inauspicious death. Inauspicious. Simply one insult against a Vaishnava. We give inauspicious death. So how careful we have to be. So someone may say, well, I'm going to make sure I don't offend any Vaishnava. I will just go live in the forest. I won't do any Vaishnava apura. I got it solved. I'll never do any Vaishnava apura. I'll just go into the forest and never come back. But Prabhupada told us to live in the association of devotees. So we are committing Vaishnava Rada if we go live in the forest. We're offending Prabhupada. So that won't work. So that means we have to live in the association of devotees and somehow or other not commit an offense. So what am I going to do? Stay in my room? And, you know, don't say anything? Don't look? No. We have to remember the easy formula for avoiding Vaishnava Parada. And that formula is given in the Adi Purana. It's a very simple formula. Krishna tells to Arjuna, he says, the one who is my devotee, he's not my devotee, but the one who is a devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. You understand? So all I have to do then is become a devotee of the devotees. So here I see a whole room full of devotees, you see. So that means I have to be a devotee of each and every devotee here in this room and the whole movement. And Prabhupada even warns here, not only should we not insult a Vaishnava, we should not insult anyone unnecessarily. What does Bhaktivinoda Thakura call this? Jiva apara. So, oh my goodness, I have to be really careful. I can't offend anybody in any time, place, or situation. Even a little ant I cannot offend. Everyone knows the story of McGrary. He was so careful not to offend even the little ant. Oh, my dear brother, ant, let me carefully move you aside so I can offer my dandavat, you see. So, if I don't externally say or do anything offensive, but I only think something offensive, is that okay? Of course, it is said that in the Kali Yuga, you don't get, in previous yugas, if you thought something bad, you got the offense of having done it, but not in the Kali Yuga. But does that mean it's okay to think bad thoughts about devotees? Jayato vishayam pungsam sangateshu vajayate sangat sanjayate kama kama krodo vijayate krodha dvadavati sang moha sang mahat smiti vibrama smiti brangshad buddhi nasho purinashad pranashiti. I see many bhakti shastris here are mouthing the sloka with me. Very good. Very good. We need more and more bhakti shastris in this camp. The more we become learned in the Shastra, then we get power in our preaching. We get power in our own Krishna consciousness. So become more and more learned. Prabhupada said, just like a lawyer knows the law books. You can give exact Shastric reference. Shishi Gornitaya ki jai, Shishi Radha Krishna Balaram ki jai, Shishi Radha Sham Shundra ki jai. So, if one is thinking something bad about a devotee, and you keep thinking something bad, sooner or later it's going to come out. You're going to say something bad. You see? So we shouldn't think bad thoughts either. It's dangerous. Nip it in the bud. As soon as a bad thought comes, you see, yato yato nishchalati manaschanchalam ashtaram tatastatam nayam yaitar atmanya vivasham niyat. Bhagavad Gita chapter 6, text number 26. As soon as I see that the mind is drifting away from where it's supposed to be, which is worshipping all devotees, you see, I say, okay, mind, get back on track. I see you're slipping off, my dear mind, now let's get back on track. Of course, there are two methods of keeping the mind on track, you see. There is the method of the yogis and the method of the devotees. The yogi, he mechanically keeps his mind on track. That's a lot of work. Mechanically, okay, keep getting that mind back on the track. Okay, mind, get back on the track, get back on the track. You see, that's hard work. For the yogi, it's very, very hard work. Kachchena, with great labor, you see. He has to keep that mind on the track. But for devotee, there's another program. This is described very, very nicely by our beloved Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. He is so nicely given in Sanskrit poetry the Vaishnava method for keeping the mind on track. He says like this. Actually, Prabhupada liked this verse very much. He gave this verse to George Harrison. He said, you make a song out of this verse. Tunde tundavali ritim vitanute tundavali lamdiye karna krodha kadambani gatayate kunar vyudev jaspriham chaita prangana sangini vijayate sarvendriyanam kritim no jane janita kiyad biramritai krishneti varnadvai. I do not know how much nectar these two syllables, Krishna, have produced. Because when I utter Krishna, it dances in my mouth. And when it's dancing in my mouth, oh, I want millions of mouths. And when those names, those sweet, sweet, nectar-laden names enter the ear holes, I want millions and billions of years. When those names are dancing in the courtyard of my heart, my mind becomes completely conquered. And I'm absolutely stunned in the transcendental wonder. Now someone may wonder, well, what are you talking about, Prabhu? Millions of mouths and millions of years. I mean, what does that mean anyway? Well, I'll give a very good analogy to help you understand. In ISKCON, we have our famous sweet, the ISKCON bullet, the gulab jamun, which is a very favorite sweet. Everyone has their own rasa with gulab jamun. So let's say, so-and-so Prabhu, he had an incredible day out on Sankirtan. He distributed 10,008 books, and we had a special reward for him. Say, Prabhu, you've set a new ISKCON record, 10,008 books, and we want to recognize you, and we have a special present for you. We have 10,008 gulab jamuns for you. And you say, well, Prabhu, I really appreciate it, but I can't eat 10,008 gulab jamuns. How could I possibly enjoy 10,008 gulab jamuns? You say, not possible. Maybe two or three, four or five, six, if I'm really pushing it, you know. Of course, in the old days, we used to have contests. One Manaji beat all the brahmacharis. She had 60 gulab jamuns. But, as our bodies get older, those sort of contests are out of the question. Even when I was a young brahmachari, I remember when they had one of those contests, I hid on the roof. But anyway. But if you can give me 10,000 mouths and 10,000 bellies, then you can give me 10 million gulab jamuns. You see, no problem. You see the point? So there's so much nectar in that one utterance of Krishna that, how much can I get for these one little mouth and these two little ears? I mean, I can't begin to even get an infinitesimal fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of that unlimited ocean of nectar which is available in one utterance of Krishna. You see? So in this way, you see, for a Vaishnava, controlling the mind is, as they say in America, a piece of cake. It's a piece of cake, and it's no big deal. As soon as you connect with Krishna's name, then all that garbage that is a great obstacle for the yogis, that lust, that anger, that greed, that madness, that illusion, that envy, all of that psychic garbage, it just flies away. Just like the example is given, when you clap your hand in the kirtan, then all the birds of sinful reaction just go flying away. Just like there's some birds on the power line, you go like this, and they go shoop, they fly away, you see. So this name Krishna is so powerful. If we just dive deep, it is not simply mantra chanting, it is mantra meditation, you see. It is meditation. We're not just making some noise, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, no. We are deeply meditating. When Srila Prabhupada says that this wonderful song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Jaya Radha Madhava, is this Vrinda of the spiritual world, what does that mean? That means if you go deep enough in a meditation on Jaya Radha Madhava, you can pass through the window. Prabhupada did it sometimes. You can actually pass through the window. So, in the same way, this Hare Krishna chanting, you see, We can be carried by the wings of Hare Krishna into that transcendental spiritual sky, the Paravyama, where Krishna is eternal lila going on at every minute. We simply have to deeply absorb ourselves in Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And when the mind finds such sweet, sweet juice, such sweet, sweet companionship, such great opulence, unlimited opulence in this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then it's easy actually to keep the mind under control. It's easy then, not difficult. We simply have to learn how to relish this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And the Vaishnavas are our greatest help. They are our greatest help. Because the name and the sadhus, they go hand in hand, you see. In other words, you can only go as deep into the name as you have loving relationships with Vaishnavas. If I'm a Vaishnava aparadi, what is that first offense? Atimata, that's a mean, nasty, bad offense. But atimata. Because if you're an offender against Vaishnava, you cannot relish the name. That's a fact. This is the number one reason that people leave ISKCON. Because they don't have proper relationships with devotees. They don't have loving relationships with Vaishnavas, you see. So to whatever extent I'm able to have loving relationship with Vaishnava, to that extent I can have a loving relationship with the name. Therefore, what do? When I see a Vaishnava, immediately I must offer my obeisances. If I can't do it physically because I'm doing my service, at least within my heart, I might be doing some service. Here there's Vaishnavas constantly walking around. If I offered my obeisance every time I saw a Vaishnava, I'd just have to stay on the ground 24 hours a day here in this wonderful temple. Just stay on the ground, don't get up. But I have service to do. So I may not be able to constantly offer obeisances every time I see a Vaishnava. But within my heart, at least, if I can't physically offer my obeisances to the Vaishnava, then within my heart, I must always offer my obeisance to the Vaishnava by seeing, oh, how fortunate I am to be in the company of this great personality. You see. The Vaishnava thinks that actually, I am so rotten, so abominable, so fallen, that I don't even deserve to be in this temple. I don't deserve to be here. I'm too contaminated. But these devotees are so kind, they've allowed me to come into this temple and associate with them. You see, that's called humility. If we can cultivate that mood, that feeling about ourselves, you see, then we can properly respect the Vaishnavas. And as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirms, in that mood of thinking ourselves lower than that straw in the street, be more tolerant than the tree, ready to offer all respect to others without expecting even the slightest tinge of respect for ourselves. And what can I do? I can relish constantly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, if we can learn how to love the devotees, truly love every devotee, even if they offend me, that's all right. If a Vaishnava offends me, then I think, well, he didn't really offend me. He's simply acting as an agent of my previous past sins. Krishna has engaged him as the DHL man to deliver my karma to me. You say, well, what do you mean, karma? Prabhu, I'm initiated. All my karma is finished. I took initiation. The Guru Maharaj absorbed all my karma. He sent it to Krishna, who absorbed all of it. So what do you mean karma? But actually there is that 0.0001% karma left after initiation. We all know the example of the fan, you see. It's like the power in Vrindavan cuts off regularly, you see. You'll notice when the power cuts off, the fan keeps turning a little bit, you see. The lights are off, but the fan blade is still going. Why? Is the electricity still going to the fan? No. But the momentum of the previous turning is still there, you see. So even after I am initiated, there's still some little tinge of karma left from my previous sin. So if a devotee offends me, I'm thinking, well, he did me a favor. He acted as an agent of Krishna to deliver to me a token reaction for my past sinful activities. Therefore, I don't hold any grudge against him. He simply did his service. That's all. He delivered that reaction to me. Of course, the devotee wasn't really, he may have actually been an offender. He wasn't thinking like that. He may have actually committed an offense, and he'll get a reaction for it. Unless we forgive him, you see. That's also true. But from our side, we should always try to see how everything is going on perfectly under the arrangement of Krishna. And never hold a grudge against anyone. We should forgive any devotee offends me, we should immediately forgive that Vaishnava, thinking, well, it's not really you, it's me. It's something that I did to you or to someone else in the past, and now you're simply Krishna's messenger, his DHL man, to deliver to me a reaction. So of course I forgive you. I don't take any offense, you see. So in this wonderful mood of appreciating Vaishnavas, always wanting to serve them, always wanting to glorify them, always wanting to please them, you see. This is how we make incredible advancement every day and every minute, you see. If I'm always pleasing the devotees, that means that every minute I'm making spiritual advancement. And Prabhupada reminds us here in his wonderful purport that by pleasing the spiritual master who is a pure Vaishnava, one pleases the personality of Godhead. But if one displeases the spiritual master, one does not know where he is going, whereabouts unknown, you see. So, all of the devotees, they are our spiritual masters. That's why we say Prabhus. Prabhupada said we should address every devotee as Prabhu. That means even the Matajis, we address them as Mataji. But they are another type of Prabhu. They are also our masters. It's like in a Vaishnava family, my father is my master and my mother also is my master, you see. So everyone for us is Prabhu. The male devotees are Prabhu, the Matajis are Prabhus, they are all our masters. They're all our spiritual masters. And we want to please them by our activities, by our attitude. You see, if the attitude is correct, then the speech will be very nice. If my attitude is incorrect, I may try to give nice speech, but it will not be pleasing. Simply, if we cultivate the correct attitude of love and respect for devotees, then everything else comes automatically. Automatically comes. You see, I have to love you. I have to learn how to truly love you. You see, this is the mood of a Vaishnava. He truly loves everyone, seeing them as Krishna's representatives, Krishna's parts and parcels. So if we cultivate this wonderful mood of always loving the Vaishnavas, appreciating their qualities. Just like the other day, I chanced upon one godbrother, Chudi Prabhu. And he didn't even remember my name. He didn't know me, but I remembered him. But I was so happy to see Chudi Prabhu because when he was a 19-year-old boy, he went all alone to South Africa during the apartheid days, risking his life to establish our movement. He was the first devotee to go to South Africa. The secret police captured him. He was on the verge of being murdered by the secret police. That's how heavy it got. It was very heavy austerity he went through in South Africa. So I was so happy to see, oh, here's this great devotee, Shuddhi Prabhu. And I felt so honored. He said, can I join you? Can I sit with you for lunch? I was so honored. He wanted to sit with me and take lunch with me. I couldn't believe it. I just felt so, I was so much blessed. And so then I asked him about his time when he was there in Africa, in South Africa, taking all risk. And Prabhupada was so pleased with him. One time he wrote Prabhupada a letter, and then Prabhupada answered his letter. So Prabhupada had a standard way of answering the letters. You know, they would dictate the letter, they would be a whole process. It was like a letter mill operation. But Prabhupada bumped Shuddhi's letter. He said, take this letter. He said, type it up. He signed it. Immediately take it to the post office. The other letters were all ignored. When Shuddhi Prabhu's letter came from South Africa, Prabhupada put all the letters aside. He answered Shuddhi, signed it. Now take it to the post office immediately. You see, Prabhupada was so pleased with this godbrother of mine, Shuddhi Prabhu. So in this way, I was just relishing his association. This devotee so greatly pleased Srila Prabhupada. And now I have the great honor and blessing to have his association. So this is the kind of mood we should cultivate towards the devotees. We should always think, how does Prabhupada see this devotee? What is Prabhupada's vision of this Vaishnava? You see? And try to appreciate that devotee as Prabhupada would appreciate him. You see? Just like here I'm in Vrindavan, I'm often meditating now on our beloved Indra Prabhu. You see? How much dear he must be to Srila Prabhupada for those kirtans, kirtan after kirtan, for so many years. He dove so deeply into Namaras, you see, and pulled us with him. By his great enthusiasm, you see. So just walking down the corridor, I think, well, Aindrava's room is there. I just meditate on Aindrava and praying for his mercy, you see. He can bless me with Namaras, you see. So in this way, if we can, always seek the blessings of the Vaishnavas. Try to serve them with love. Try to meditate on their wonderful divine qualities, you see. Then there'll be no room for offense. There'll be no question of offending any devotee. I'll just be so full of love for the devotees. There's no question of offense. Then we won't have to worry about being burned in a forest fire or killed in an automobile accident. If we have nice, loving relationships with Vaishnavas, then we'll have a very auspicious death. Just like my godbrother Nirguna Prabhu. He's a wonderful devotee. I personally know him. We were brahmacharis together back in Atlanta in the old days, the golden days when Prabhupada was here. Of course, these are also golden days. But those were golden days too. Because Prabhupada's still here, actually. The golden days are going on at every minute because Prabhupada is here with us right now. He's with us right now. So his passing was so auspicious. He was there in Mayapur. And devotees were regularly associating with him, chanting, giving him Krishna Katha in this way. He was so much blessed. But then just as he was passing, it was Mangal Arati, and all the devotees were in the temple room. Oh no, he's going to miss the Vaishnava Kirtan. They're all in the temple room. But the announcement was made in the temple room. Everybody left Mangal Arati and went to Nirguna Prabhu's room. You see. He wasn't a big name sannyasi or guru or GBC. He was a simple, humble householder, book distributor, you see. He was so dedicated to preaching without any name, fame, honor, distinction, just to serve Prabhupada's mission by distributing books. He was so dedicated. And Krishna reciprocated with that sincere love in the heart of Nirguna Prabhu for Prabhupada's books and for Srila Prabhupada. All the devotees, they left Mangal Arati, they came to his room, and gave him a wonderful send-off, you see. A wonderful bon voyage to Golok, you see. And there's an amazing story my wife just told me this morning. that someone who was not present in the room told him that he should have Govardhan. He should have Govardhan. So he requested a Govardhan, and so one Manaji brought a Govardhan Shila. And when he was holding that Shila, and then when he departed, the Shila went with him. It disappeared when he left the planet. The Shila went with him. You can imagine what kind of auspicious passing he had. He went with Govardhan. Govardhan accompanied him to the spiritual world. You see. I know Nirguna Prabhu for many years. He was a very sweet, humble devotee. He trained and inspired one of my disciples in book distribution. So sweet, wonderful, humble devotee. Just always dedicated to preaching and distributing Prabhupada's books. And then the greatest blessing, you see, Govardhan accompanied him. Govardhan personally escorted him to the spiritual world. You see. So we don't need to be a big name, big sannyasi, guru, GBC. We don't need some big position. We just need to have a taste for the name and a taste for preaching Krishna consciousness. A taste for giving people Srila Prabhupada's books, you see. If we have these simple, humble qualities of a devotee, you see, then all auspiciousness will come to us. All auspiciousness will be ours. So we have a few minutes left. Does anyone have any questions? Yeah. Now remember, you can be the relay man for the question. I'm a little deaf, so I'm going to have my right ear is good. So somebody can stand here and pass me, give me the question in my ear. So somebody, you want to do that? Give me the question in my right ear? Naturally, my hearing is pretty bad. There are different ways of understanding senior. That's one thing. One is by position. Well, if someone is a sannyasi or they're a Prabhupada disciple, there's different, GBC. That is seniority in one sense. Another seniority is they're physically older. An old man is respected as senior because he has physical age. That's another way. But the most important, the other one is who got initiated first. There's a famous story of Prabhupada with our Prajumna Prabhu. Prajumna was sitting in the room with Prabhupada. There was another godbrother there. And Prajumna moved closer to Prabhupada than that godbrother. And Prabhupada said, no, he is your dada, your older brother. He said, you do not sit closer than him. He is your older brother. He was initiated before you. So that's another way. But the most important way is who is more advanced in Krishna consciousness. And that's the ultimate understanding of seniority. So I may think I'm more advanced than somebody else, but guess what? I could be wrong. Jad Bharat was not recognized as an advanced devotee. But he was the most advanced devotee. You see. So we have to be careful. Oh, this is not a sannyasi, or this is not a Prabhupada disciple. Or this is just some Mataji, No, we have to be careful. We don't know. He can be playing with fire. Saruchi didn't know her son was a Vaishnava. But still, she was burning a forest fire. by offending him. So we have to be very careful. To be very, very careful. We don't know. Somebody who's just joined the movement, they may be more advanced than me from their previous activities before this life. We don't know who is more advanced, who is less advanced. Therefore, we should just think everyone is more advanced than me. That's why we say Prabhu. Prabhu and Mataji means they are my superiors. You see? She is my Mataji, he is my Prabhu. They are my superiors. You see? That way you're on the safe side. Otherwise, you're walking on thin ice, Prabhu. That ice can just... Be careful. Be very careful. Okay, next question. It is natural in an organization there are going to be conflicts. That's why management is required. Management must be there because conflicts will definitely be there. That's understood. So if a conflict arises, that doesn't mean that there's offense necessarily, because Prabhupada explains that difference of opinion is not... In Krishna consciousness, there is such a thing as a spiritual difference of opinion. Someone thinks the deity should be dressed like this. Someone else says, no, we should dress like this. So the both of them are wanting to dress Krishna beautifully. So both are right, you see. But still, there has to be some management that is done in a certain way so that things can go on in a very smooth and organized way. So I'm having difficulty getting along with the Vaishnava. I complained to the management. As long as my mood is one of love, I actually truly want to learn how to get along in a much better way with this devotee. You see? Then there is no harm. Actually, such approaching the management with a view to smooth out my relationship with that devotee, that's transcendental complaint. In other words, I want to resolve the complaint. I sincerely want to resolve the complaint so I can have a wonderful, loving relationship with that devotee. You see, then your complaint is transcendental. It's the motive that counts. What is your desire? Do you want to destroy that person? Or do you want to smooth things out so you can have a nice relationship with that person? Then, so simply one has to see the motive. Okay, one more.
You mentioned about the 20 days of love rivers. You mentioned one statement, it's very easy for a Vaishnava to control his mind. But being not a Vaishnava, only aspiring servant of Vaishnava, how to control the mind? Because I don't have that taste for Vaishnava. So my mind is not exactly getting absorbed in the Vaishnava. So how to... What is this?
You mentioned the words Tundetam Lava. So in that context you told that this will be easy for the Vaishnava to control the mind. How to control the mind?
Very easy for the Vaishnava to control the mind. No? So he's asking how to do it?
Yes.
Yes, you simply have to fall in love with the name, Prabhu. Simply fall in love with the name. Namaras. That's all you need is Namaras. So how do you get Namaras? That is described. The first step is you have to have faith in the process, you see. Shraddha. The second step, you associate with Vaishnava, Sadhu Sangha. The third step, Bhajana Kriya. You surrender to Guru Maharaj, you follow Guru Maharaj's instructions very sincerely and carefully. You see, that is Bhajana Kriya. And then by doing that, you become Nishta. Oh no, next step, is you, those anarthas, that dirt in the heart, Those anarthas, they go away because you're giving up illicit sex, you're giving up meat eating, you're giving up intoxication, you're giving up gambling, you're rooting out the 10 namaparads, you see? So that's called, for that bhajana kriya, then you get anartana vritti. The namaparads go away, the gross offenses go away, the sinful pillars go away, and then you enter into that wonderful, wonderful dawning in the heart of namaruchi, where the name is so sweet that you, if you had nothing else to do but chant 24 hours a day, you'd be in bliss. Wow, I get to associate with Krishna's name for the next 10 million years. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. You see? You see? So, you simply have to go through the process. Shraddha, Sadhusanga, Vajana Kriya, Anartana Vritti, Nishta. Those five steps. You go through those five steps, the Namaruchi is there for you, Prabhu. Follow those first five steps very carefully. Have strong faith in every word. What does Svetashvatara Upanishad say? Yashya deva pira bhaktir tata deve tata guru tasyayite tatya paraka prakashyante mahatmanaha. Only unto those souls who have unflinching faith in the words of Guru and Krishna are the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. So the first thing is you have to have a very, very strong faith. That every word that Prabhupada says is correct. You will defend every word of Prabhupada. You see? You will defend every word of Srila Prabhupada against the attackers. You see? Firm faith in the words of Srila Prabhupada. And then, that sadhu sangha, that bhajana kriya, nativiti, nishta. In this way you will get the namaruchi. So, we'll stop here. I'll be giving Bhagavad Gita. If you have any questions, come to Bhagavad Gita class tonight. Bring your questions tonight for Bhagavad Gita class if you have any more. So we thank you all very much for your giving your life to Srila Prabhupada's movement. Kindly continue in this way, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And upon leaving your body, you immediately be flown by the wings of the mercy of the Vaishnavas to Goloka Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.